Beautiful hymns leading us into our thought today. I join with Brother Green in welcoming each of you to our services this morning. It's always good to have our visitors, and of course we expect all of us who are Christians to be here and assemble around the Lord's table. I want us to think deeply in our heart this morning. There's a lot of changes going on in the world. In fact, in our political campaign, there was call for change. But there's two changes that are intensely personal. And those are the changes that I want to talk about this morning for a few minutes. And one of them we can't do anything about very much. But the other one we can do quite a bit about. And that is our own physical and spiritual change. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse 16, says, though the outward man perish, we're changing. Look at yourself. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning and I said, you're changing. I think all of us just about do that. But thanks be unto God, that's not all of the verse. Though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. And that's our hope. And that's what Brother Kidwell was trying to key in on and bringing us to today. That there's something grand waiting on because inside we're flourishing. We're like a spring plant still growing. On the outside we are decaying. You may not remember this, but in 1954 there was a fellow by the name of Stuart Harlinson who wrote a song, made a lot of money on it, that made an analogy to our body. How many of you remember this old house? Well, am I the only one that remembers it? In 1954, it goes this way. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, not to mend the window panes. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Well, they said that he was on a hunting venture out in the woods someplace and came upon this old house and was inspired to write that. However it was, it's an analogy to the human body. The human body that's undergoing changes and that we're going to lose the fight eventually. But on the inside, there's something else that's going on. And that's the thing that we really want to talk about this morning. And I made your text this morning to help us understand that the changes that are going on inside of us are for the purpose of perfecting us in Christ Jesus toward reaching a faultless state when we stand before God. In Jude the 24th verse, he said that I might present you faultless before the Almighty God. Now isn't that wonderful to stop and think about? That as we're going through this life, Christians, that inside of us something has happened. We know that we're with fault. There's not a man that hasn't sinned somewhere in his life, but thank God for his grace through Jesus Christ. And if we, through the weakness of our temptations, we still stumble and fall. But we're quick then to confess unto Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, in our weaknesses. And every time that we overcome one, we should be a little bit brighter, a little bit stronger, toward that mark that we're pressing of the high calling of Christ Jesus, which is that you and I in here, as incredible as it might be, can stand faultless before Jesus Christ our Lord by the enabling grace when he paid the payment for our sins. Now I invite your attention to listen to this. If that seems to be a mystery to you, how on earth could I ever be with, faultless and so on? Let's develop this text a little bit. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his good will. Working in you, there's something going on inside of the Christian. If you've been a Christian very long, there ought to be some improvements that you can detect as you get closer to your next birthday and your next birthday until you come to the big day. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and glory without end. Thanks be unto God for the glory of Jesus Christ who provides this perfecting process inside of us by his grace. Perfect in every good work, you say, to do his will. But surely knowing myself as I do and knowing the world that I live in, this is an impossible attainment. But before we accept it as final or inevitable, let's have another look at what this apostle is saying here in this text, if he be an apostle, and I think perhaps he was. First of all, he begins with God. Now, he doesn't begin with just a statement about God, but with a particular aspect. He begins with the God who has no limitations. He says the God of the resurrection who brought Jesus Christ from the dead make you perfect. What he's trying to impress upon every Christian is, don't you take heart in your living the Christian life. There is change going on in you. And if you think that it's impossible, remember that the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working with you. And all things are possible because he is not limited, and he can do with you what you would will for him to do. This, in fact, according to the Bible, is what Christianity essentially is. It is then a religion of the resurrection, and we say resurrection so blandly, but it's a resurrection of change. We have been resurrected, raised to walk in newness of life with Christ Jesus. Great change. And this is what every worshiping congregation is intended to be as we come together. It's a community of the resurrection, that we might be gradually drawn into the image of Christ and eventually prepare us to enter heaven by the grace of God. And this is why we sing, "Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer, and gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, oh, for thy perfect likeness to bear." Unless we're singing in vain, you know. We do sing that. You know, it's important to observe just how this writer in Hebrews expresses it. He says of the resurrection, it was God's mighty act that brought Jesus Christ forth from the dead. Now, you know, those first Christians never preached Jesus' resurrection as just he came back from an empty grave. It was far more than that. They had entered into the power of that resurrection. And when they preached the resurrection of the dead, it was more than mere words. It was say, look at me, I have changed. And that's the way Christians ought to be today. You don't have to just go about talking about the doctrine of the resurrection. The resurrection is in us, in Christ, for character change. And it's all a new world and we've been born again. They always proclaim the resurrection as the living God in omnipotent action, the changing their lives toward perfection. And their insight taught them that there is something that lies beyond the grave, that resurrection that matters, that God has vindicated the dreams for which Christ died, and God is ratifying righteousness and justice and truth against the evil powers that are in this world. Many in these tense, tumultuous days are trembling for a sign of certainty in life. I believe that. Look at the conflicts between the nations, the eruptions of violence that are everywhere, and the cruelty and the hatred, the appearance then of sinister brands of lawlessness, narcotics and terror everywhere, the rising tide of false values of sick society, the domineering sway and hateful ideologies all about us that make a mock of freedom and of true Christianity. But it is not surprising that the world is haunted by fear that the powers of darkness may ultimately win the battles. And they're paralyzed inside, I believe, by that terrible doubt. But Christians, listen. That's what this service is about. Christians, listen. God has already taken the measure of evil forces at the very worst and has met that challenge precisely at that point, dispelling darkness and settling the issue of the resurrection of the dead. All we've got to do is just believe it, accept it into our hearts for faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why we're here. That's where our hope lies. And what are we doing in this assembly today if this is not true? Are we just then nursing an illusory hope? But no, it's not that at all, is it? Not for true Christians. We are celebrating a magnificent, incontrovertible reality, and therefore you and I, amid the disillusionments of history, can lift up our heads, knowing and rejoicing that God still reigns. Not out there. God reigns in our heart and is perfecting this change, you see. And though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. That's why Bible study is important. And that's why worship service is important. That's why fellowship of the church is important. May the God of peace, he said, who brought you up from the dead and the Lord Jesus Christ make you perfect. That is to say now, that the same divine creative energy which resurrected Christ and started the greatest movement in history is available for you and me, and this, mind you, not only at death eventually to raise us up, but is available now inside of our lives and our hearts to raise us up into the new life inside. We've got to believe it. We've got to accept it for that change to begin working on us. We are so apt to be obsessed with the sticks and straws of our own weak efforts and trying to be religious with ineffectual resolves and our never dreaming that the Lord God who resurrected Jesus Christ is really standing beside us, unless Jesus Christ told a story, where two or three are gathered together, there I will be with you in your midst. It's ours if we simply would partake of it. But there's one thing that remains to be said before we bring this lesson to a close, and that is the one thing needful for us to attain this change that's lifting us up and driving us forward to perfection in Christ so that we can be presented faultless before God is self-surrender and self-commitment. The writer to the Hebrews has very dramatically reminded us of that. For did you notice that even in this magnificent verse that we have used for a text, there is a streak of blood across it? Look at it again. Did you hear through this writer's shout of praise this? Did you hear the loud note of sacrifice? The God of peace who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, there was no road to the resurrection, no road to the new life for Jesus Christ except by that awful Friday that he had to go through. No way to that risen eternal quality of life except by life that was laid down. I'm pleading with us this morning in this lesson for that change in our life. But if we ever experience it, it's not simply by ritual and formal church-going religion, though church-going is essential. It is then realizing the resurrection in our lives and the submission to Almighty God and allowing that blood to cleanse us from our sins. Essentially, it is this, what Jesus said. Take up your cross if you're going to follow me. And we all have our crosses. Sacrifice, that is the streak of blood that blazed across this text that we use. That is that original Friday's great sacrifice. And beyond it is the power of a new resurrection. The marvel of life blossoming red from the dust of self-defeats in our life. The joy and peace of triumphing in Christ here on earth and knowing that this is but a foretaste of glory divine as we sing it. It's a first installment of something still more wonderful to come when we are finally perfected and made like his image forever. I don't know how he'll be when he comes, but we'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him. It is then an adjustment of character by following the holiness in the New Testament as it is laid out until everything fits when we go to heaven. And we have walked toward that character of Jesus. And when we walk in, if we're granted to go in, our characters, our spirits will melt with His. No disagreement, no disharmony. Everything is one in Christ Jesus in that great place. For what lies beyond the horizon of our pilgrimage is Christ of the firstborn of great brotherhood. Now hints and expectations of it indeed are not lacking in this very assembly here this morning as we come together. Especially when the house of God gathers for worship as we have. One becomes vividly aware of the communion of saints and the cloud of witnesses. Those who once sojourned with us here and worshiped with us on this side, even in the midst of this own assembly in the past, are now saints on the other side, forever to be with the Lord. And when a congregation has existed for as many years as this congregation has existed, much or a large part of its fellowship has gone over beyond the river. Almost everyone, think of our own hearts, almost everyone can think in their heart of dear ones yonder on the immortal side of death that once sang in these assemblies, and they're now singing God's grace helping. They're singing in heavenly anthems among the saved and the blessed. They are with Christ, numbered with His saints in glory, everlasting, and our hearts yearn to be with them. And it'll yearn more as we grow older, as we begin to see through an eye of faith the pearly gates and the golden walls. Our destiny, if indeed we're baptized believers, united to the living Christ here and now, and the Holy Spirit is molding us and making us as we sing, you know. And if we are thus through Him joined to the immortality of God, and that's what this lesson is all about. Our destiny is to be reunited one day with those loved ones in the habitations of His glory and dominion, never, never, never to part again. Amen. And all guaranteed to us by Christ of the resurrection and by the risen life that He is offering us now, without delay, we should be, we must be, buried with Him by baptism into His death, that you might begin immediately sharing the power of His resurrection to perfect your life toward eternity. So as Jude says, we want to present you faultless today before the Almighty God. You're snow white. You're clean. His plan of salvation is a part of the changing power in our life. We have to believe, John 3:16. We have to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. And we have to confess Christ, Matthew 10:32. And then Romans 6:3. Know you not, as many of you have been baptized into His death, or baptized into Christ, baptized into His death. And the like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father. So when we come forth from baptism, by the glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit enters into our heart. Our hearts are cleansed. The blood has cleansed us. And this great process of changing, sometimes it's oh so slow, but it's gradually changing. The perfecting process begins inside of us, and sometimes it hurts. But after many years pass, the edges begin to wear off. Temptations are still there, but they don't burn as bad as maybe youthful lust. And so being baptized in Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, we sing together this song. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee.